Good evening and welcome to the October 10th Aiken City Council meeting. Start with our invocation and our pledge, and I'd like to recognize Ms. Gail Diggs for our invocation and special recognition.
Good evening. Tonight we pay special tribute to a community icon, someone who has made so many significant contributions to this community. Someone who was memorialized today. If you look behind you, there's a chair, right side of the room, this side, third chair at the end with the rose in it. That's the chair that Wade Brody used to sit in every time council met. If you lived in this community at least the last 5-10 years, you know Wade Brody. If you don't know him personally, you know his name. So we ask that you remember him and his family in your prayers, and just thank God that we had him all these years. Someone who left quite a legacy here in this community. May we pray? Heavenly Father, our Creator, our Sustainer, our Light, our Fortress, our Alpha and Omega, our Beginning and our End, we come to you tonight thanking you for keeping us safe through the storms and for allowing us to see another day. We ask prayers for those who have lost homes and loved ones, and also for those who are still unable to return to their homes. Bless them with the things that they stand in need of. Lord, we also thank you for all the love and the resources that was provided through this Aiken community. Lord, we thank you for Wade Brody and his many contributions. He's no longer with us physically. He's gone, but he'll never be forgotten. We ask prayers for his wife, Sissy, and we thank so much for her having the heart to share him with us for so many years. We ask that you wrap your loving arms of comfort around her and keep her safe from harm. And tonight, as we go through this meeting, may we approach our tasks with wisdom and approach our members with respect. May our conduct create an environment of kindness and cooperation. Grant us unity, hope, and vision. Stir your hope within our hearts, and for those who have none, we ask that you renew their faith. May your vision fill our lives and inspire growth in our communities. And let us always acknowledge you for all the blessing that you bestow upon us, and not forget those who are less fortunate. Bless all the families that are represented here tonight, and grant them safe travels to their homes. In your precious name, I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Councilwoman Diggs. I'm going to ask Chief Branco if he'd come up and lead us in our pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And Chief, while we have you at the stand, first of all, I want to say thank you to you and all the staff in public safety, and really to the city, who did a tremendous job, first of all, with the EOC and working with the county and other communities with the storm as it came up, and then our aid to help others. And I was hoping you might could just give us a little kind of summarize or a little report about
Sure. Thank you for the time and Mr. Clem's guidance to put something together to report out to you. Early in the week, in the anticipation of Hurricane Matthew, we began a readiness protocol that is just preparing all of our equipment, making sure it's in working order. Tuesday, we were contacted by the Yakin County Emergency Operations Center and started meeting with local and statewide emergency management on conference calls. These were occurring twice a day, and then reporting out to the other department directors, city management, and command staff through emails. We were sharing that information. As far as the Emergency Operations Center, Friday night or Friday afternoon, we began manning that continuously through Saturday night when they shut down their operation. As far as the shelter goes, as you know, it was opened on Wednesday at 3 o'clock, and public safety provided security 24 hours a day. As the numbers got closer to 250 evacuees, we added an additional officer for security reasons, and they were spread out all over the school and just wanted to make people feel comfortable there. And then, of course, on Sunday, we assisted with and worked with other agencies to move to Odell Weeks as a shelter, and Jessica and her staff did an excellent job of welcoming them there. And happy to report that the shelter was closed at 3 o'clock or 3:30 today. And all the arrangements were made for all the evacuees that were here in Aiken County. We had certain traffic control points as part of the evacuation routes that we monitored throughout the evacuation, and at no time do we have heavy traffic here. So we just monitored those and coordination with Aiken County and the Highway Patrol. We were very fortunate to work with Aiken County 211 Helpline. They took over 600 calls over the last several days that would have gone to our different dispatch centers, so they were able to get information out to the community. As far as our storm-related man hours and expenses, these are preliminary numbers. Public safety had about 310 man hours staffing the EOC, the shelter, and readiness for the evacuation and storm. And our expenses were very minimal. We assisted the shelter with some signage to making sure everybody could find where the shelter was. During the storm here in Aiken, we had about 35 to 40 different calls that ranged from, just burglar alarms, fire alarms, trees down, power lines that have come down that were related to the storm, and responded to those accordingly. There was a power outage in the Central Business District and some of the north side, including our headquarters, which went on generator power for several hours, but everything is back up and running normally. Of course, public services cleared the road for some of the trees that were down. There was a tree that came down on the Union Street Bridge, and the only thing that was affected was some of its railing, and that has been restored to operation and opened. And I'd just like to say that working with all the different our different departments and our different agencies that we worked with through the EOC, through conference calls, it was a privilege to work with them, and everybody, it was a team effort to best serve our citizens.
Thank you, Chief.
If I could, Mr. Mayor, I would just like to add how proud I am as your city manager and watching employees in every single one of our departments chip in and help. Our citizens who came up to the plate and volunteered blankets and food and other things necessary for our guests, our business community, and our employees. And not only public safety that just did an outstanding job, but when I got a call from our school superintendent, who very much wanted to open up school today, he asked for assistance from the city, and I was able to turn to Jessica Campbell, who immediately put her management team together to put a plan together so that our schools could open. Our City Hall and our workers, our finance department workers from every single department, not only during company hours but also on their own time, volunteered. And the comments that we received from our visitors are truly outstanding. People made it very clear about how warm they felt our welcome was. It says a lot about our employees, and it says more about the type of city that the city of Aiken is. I think all of us have a lot to be proud of over the actions over the past week.
Thank you, John. Appreciate your leadership and all of our staff for the great thing you did. And it's true, there's a saying, the worst brings out the best. And I think through this situation, which certainly was not good, you saw a community step forward in the city, and I couldn't be more proud of it, too. So thanks for all of our staff, what they did, and in our community. It just turned out in a big way. John, I might ask you this time, we have some new staff. Before we get into the guidelines, would you like to introduce?
Yes, I would be delighted to do so. This is the first time in my tenure here that we've had a full complement of management staff, and I want to introduce two of our managers this evening, so not only to members of the council, but also to the general public, in two critical areas. As you, all of you know, that we have had an opening and a permanent planning director position for several years, and we were so blessed to receive the assistance of some interim planning directors that really kept our heads above water. And over that period of time, we had regulatory boards of the Planning Commission and the Design Review and others that really had to step up to the plate as volunteers to really help out. And so I wanted to publicly recognize Liz Stewart and Larry Ogletree and McDonald Law, not only for doing yeoman's work over the past several years with their memberships of their committees, but also in agreeing to serve on a selection committee with me as we went through many, many applications and several iterations of interviews to finally find an outstanding candidate that I think will position this city well over the next decade and beyond. Our new planning director is here this evening, Ryan Bland. His latest job was in the state of California, but it has been his bride's desire as a native South Carolinian to return home, and this opportunity allowed them to do that. Ryan has a bachelor's degree in community and regional planning and two master's degrees in both regional community planning and also public administration. He has over 15 years of professional experience in a variety of planning positions, but every one of the individuals, including myself and Stuart and others that served on the selection committee, were absolutely impressed with the breadth of his experience. We're going right through a redrafting of our comprehensive plan. There couldn't be a better time to have someone like Ryan on board. And so I just wanted to introduce Ryan Bland, planning director, to you. In addition, we have reconsolidated our public works department in the city of Aiken, and know that over the next 5 or 10 years, if we are to implement the plans that this council has committed itself to, specifically about infrastructure and dealing with so many issues that have been put on hold for so long, that we needed a true professional, and we certainly have found that person in Michelle Shepherd Jones, who most of not all of you already know, wearing her hat with the South Carolina Department of Transportation, with over 17 years of professional experience as an engineer. Michelle not only has a degree in civil engineering from the Georgia Institute of Technology, but she is a professional engineer licensed in South Carolina. As well, she is a certified public manager designation as well. I am really delighted to have these two professionals on board to complement an already outstanding staff, and especially because of the direction that this council wants to head. I can't think of two people, and Ryan and Michelle, that will assist us to get to where we want to go. So I wanted to introduce Ryan and Michelle. Would you like to make a few comments in your new position?
Of course. But I'd just like to thank you all very much for this opportunity, and it really feels like a homecoming, honestly, just, you know, through our history together, we've worked on projects and various things, and I'm looking forward to joining the Aiken family, and I'm very grateful to be here and to be able to be a part of what I believe is a wonderful city with full of character and destined for greatness.
Thank you. Welcome, Michelle.
Honorable Mayor and City Council, a pleasure to be here, pleasure to make it here. I just look forward to serving you all, serving the citizens here with the City of Aiken. Looks like an exciting future ahead. I'm excited to be a part of it. So I'm just looking forward to serving you the best I can, and I really appreciate the opportunity.
Michelle, I think we all just echo what Mr. Clemens said. Welcome to Aiken. We look forward to having you as a part of our city staff and family. I like that word also. So we know great things are ahead and look forward to you guys being a part of it. We'll go over the guidelines of our meetings. Meetings are public forums in which many opinions are expressed, and the business of the city must be conducted. As such, disciplined, honorable, and professional decorum is paramount. Courteous and respectful communication is expected. During public hearing, all questions and statements from the public shall be directed to the chair. And if you wish to speak, raise your hand and I will certainly recognize you. Please approach the podium and state your name and address. In order to allow an opportunity for everyone who wishes to address council, speakers should limit their comments to the subject being discussed. Each speaker will be given 5 minutes to address an issue and may only address an issue once unless questions from council are posed to the speaker. And we appreciate you following our guidelines. With that, I'll recognize our Mayor Pro Tem, Ebner, for any additions or deletions to the agenda.
Thank you, Mayor. I do not have it at this time, and I would poll council to see if there are any additions or changes from anybody. Hearing none, I move that we accept the agenda as posted.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I second.
A second. All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you, Mr. Ebner. The minutes were distributed to council before the meeting for their review. Is there a motion to accept the minutes as presented?
I so move.
Motion, is there a second?
Second.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to presentations, at this time I'll recognize our city manager, Mr. John Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This summer, through our work-study program with the Aiken County Vocational Rehabilitation Program, Mr. Austin Magnus worked with our Parks, Recreation, and Tourism Department. Austin volunteered his time each evening during the Hoaglands Garden Summer Concert Series. He was responsible for monitoring concert attendance during each performance and assisting with setup and breakdown of equipment, welcoming guests, handing out programs, and doing other tasks assigned as needed. Austin has now secured employment with a local grocery store. His work experience with the City of Aiken's Park, Recreation, and Tourism Department gave him valuable work skills to help him in obtaining employment. The Parks, Recreation, and Tourism Department is extremely proud of the work Austin provided during his time with the department. The City of Aiken would like to recognize Austin Magnus and thank him for his work with the City of Aiken and congratulate him on his career advancement. Mr. Mayor, Mr. Magnus is here with representatives of the Aiken Vocational Rehabilitation Program, and I would ask that you recognize him at this point in time.
Austin, I'll meet you at the podium. Hold on. We had a conversation earlier. I said, as much as we appreciate Austin with us, he found a better gig. Thank you for all you've done for the city. Fortunate to have had you as a part of our team. We hope you'll always feel like a part of that team. But thank you so much. This is a great opportunity. We appreciate you being here to let us say thank you to you. So, congratulations and much success in the future. We know you'll find it. And we'll turn around. Let's all.
John, comments from the board. We have action.
Thank you.
Before you leave, excuse me, I'm just wondering whether there's a comment from the Voc Rehab staff.
I'm Sarah Gibson. I'm with Vocational Rehabilitation. We would just like to thank the City of Aiken, especially Sam Radford, for being an integral part in this teamwork process. Austin was really great in the work that he did, and through partnership with all of us, we were able to help him gain employment at the Bilo on York Street, so pay him a visit.
And we have the manager from the Bilo store on York Street who does a lot for the community. You don't hear a lot about it, but I know when our health center was having several different events and I needed things from the grocery store, water and granola bars and a lot of other things we were having for this huge health fair, I went to him and he was so gracious. He said, yeah, I'll help you out. What do you need? So he does that a lot, and people really don't even realize it. So we thank you for giving Austin an opportunity to work at the Bilo. I know I'll see him on a regular basis.
Do you have any comments to make?
Thank you.
He's coming.
Good afternoon. Good evening, excuse me. My name is Jerome Johnson, store manager at Bilo off of York Street. I just want to say thank you. It's a pleasure being here, and I'm glad the community and the staff in Aiken County recognizes Austin. He's a wonderful employee, great customer service, and that's what we needed. So he does a great job for us, and I'm glad to have him aboard my team.
Thank you.
Moving down.
Something, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, absolutely. Ms. Price?
This required teamwork, everybody working together. Mm-hmm. And that's what success requires. Each one, the city played a part, Boca Rehab played a part, mm-hmm. Bilo played a part to make this successful.
That's right.
And I'm excited for him, mm-hmm. but excited for each one, mm-hmm. each piece that played a part in making this a success as well. So it's good news.
Absolutely. Thank you, Councilwoman Price. Okay, moving down to old business. Number one, this is approval and appointments and discussion of appointees to various city boards, commissions, and committees. I recognize Mr. Klim.
Mr. Mayor, the City Council has 20 pending appointments to fill vacancies on different city boards, commissions, and committees. 6 appointments are presented for Council consideration and vote at the meeting this evening. Councilman Homolke has recommended the reappointment of Larry Morris to the General Aviation Commission. If appointed, Mr. Morris's term would expire on September 1st, 2018. Councilman Merry has recommended the reappointment of Suzanne Haislip to the Recreation Commission, and if reappointed, her term would expire on September 1st, 2018. He has also recommended the reappointment of Susan Victor to the Accommodations Tax Committee with her new term to expire March 25th, 2018. Councilman Merry has recommended that Dr. Sean Alford be appointed to the Aiken Housing Authority to fill the unexpired position of Israel Haynes, who has resigned. If appointed, Dr. Alford's term would expire May 28, 2018. Councilwoman Price has recommended that Carolyn McPherson be appointed to the General Aviation Commission to fill the position of William Cashoni. If appointed, Ms. McPherson's term would expire on September 1, 2018. She also recommended that Richard Johnson be reappointed to the Municipal Election Commission with the term to expire in August of 2022. For Council consideration is the reappointment of Larry Morris and appointment of Carolyn McPherson to the General Aviation Commission, the reappointment of Suzanne Haislip to the Recreation Commission, Susan Victor to the Accommodations Tax Committee, and Richard Johnson to the Municipal Election Commission, and the appointment of Dr. Sean Alford to the Aiken Housing Authority.
Thank you, sir.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? All those in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. Are there any other new names to be moved forward for consideration at our next meeting?
And Mr. Mayor, I'd like to reappoint Ann Dix to the Community Development Committee. And I would also mention that my appointee to the Arts Commission was fended a little bit. We're down two, and one is incapacitated, so we just have four. There's two openings, if I can encourage people to appoint replacements, because that's an important commission. So. Thank you.
And I'd like to reappoint John Owen to the General Aviation Commission.
Any other names to move forward? Thank you. Number two under old business is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend the concept plan for the village at Woodside regarding signage by title, and ordinance amending the concept plan for property located in the village at Woodside. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I second.
And second, any discussion? I'm sorry, excuse me. Comments from staff.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Silver Bluff Development, LLC, the owner of property located in Woodside Plantation, known as the Village at Woodside, has requested approval of a revision to their concept plan. The original concept plan was approved by the City Council. This request is for a revision to the concept plan for the Village at Woodside to specifically address the issue of signage. In addition to the monument signs approved in the previous concept plan submittal, the applicant is requesting approval to use building-mounted commercial signage to identify the primary commercial center, the Village Shops, and to identify individual businesses within the Village at Woodside. For any development in the PR zone, the concept plan must be reviewed by the Planning Commission and then approved by the City Council. City Council has complete discretion over the concept plan. At their meeting on August 9, 2016, the Planning Commission voted unanimously to recommend approval of the requested concept plan revision for signage at the Village at Woodside. City Council approved the ordinance on first reading at September 12, 2016 meeting. For City Council consideration on second reading and public hearing is an ordinance to amend the concept plan for the Village at Woodside regarding signage to allow the use of a building-mounted sign to identify the commercial center of the Village at Woodside and the use of building-mounted business identification signs.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council? All those in favor on second reading? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down old business number three. This is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend the city budget for fiscal year 2016-17 to include unspent funds from the 2015-16 budget to complete some projects. By title, an ordinance amending the budget of the City of Aiken for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2016 and ending June 30, 2017. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, this is the second reading of a request that originated from our finance director and myself regarding unspent funds for this fiscal year 2015-16 budget. We have provided you an attached memo which lists the projects that were in process but not completed at the end of the fiscal year. We are also recommending that the 2016-17 budget be amended to include these carryover funds for the projects to be completed. We have attached a list of each project and the funding for the project. There were also two recreation projects, the Rye Patch Stable Project and the Citizens Park Well Repair Project, which were not included in the 2016-17 budget. Due to unspent funds in fiscal year 15-16, funding is available to complete those projects. Funding for the Rye Patch Stable Project would come from the Local Accommodations Tax Fund and the Sunday Alcohol Fund. The Citizens Park Well Repair funding would come from the Sunday Alcohol Fund. Questions about the AECOM portion of the Newberry Street building roof came up at the last meeting after staff discussions with representatives from AECOM and the Aiken Corporation. It is felt that that portion of the roof does not need to be repaired at this time. City Council approved this ordinance on first reading at the September 12, 2016 meeting. For City Council consideration, a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend the 2016-17 budget to include unspent funds from the 15-16 budget to complete some projects which were in the process at the close of the fiscal year ending on June 30, 2016, and to fund two recreation projects.
Thank you, Mr. Clem. Comments from the audience? Comments from council? All those in favor on second reading? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to number four under old business. This is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend the 2016-17 budget to include funding for the relocation of utilities on Silver Bluff Road for the widening project. By title, an ordinance amending the budget of the City of Aiken for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2016 and ending June 30, 2017. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Comment from staff.
Mr. Mayor, this item has been the subject of not only first reading but a separate workshop where we reviewed the status of the project with you. The Silver Bluff Road expansion project, coordinated by the South Carolina Department of Transportation, requires utility owners to relocate their infrastructure. AT&T, SEE&G, Atlantic Broadband, and the city all have infrastructure in the footprint of the Silver Bluff Road expansion project. On September 6, 2016, we conducted a bid opening for this relocation project. The apparent responsive low bidder is TriStar Contractors, Inc. of Edgefield, who submitted the lowest responsible bid of $742,212.38. Staff recommends proceeding with this project using TriStar Contractors with a contingency and professional services to assist with this project. We expect the work to cost no more than $855,000. We have included in the memo attached to your agenda the cost breakout. City Council approved this ordinance on first reading at the September 12, 2016 meeting. The Council approval is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend the fiscal year 2016-17 budget to perform Silver Bluff Road utility relocations. And staff is present this evening, Mr. Mayor, to answer any questions that the Council might have.
Thank you. Are there any comments from the audience? Comments or questions from council?
When will the utilities be completely relocated? Do you have any idea?
Ask George Grant, if you would, to come forward. Good evening, George.
We have a 50-day contract. We would have a notice proceed today if approved, and that would, without rain delay, it would be November 29th, would be the 50 days.
I thought we gave a notice to proceed after the first reading.
Yes, we are proceeding today. They had a two-week order requirement, and so they are. It happens to coincide today.
So even if we approved it today, it would be a two-week.
Yeah, if we waited till today, we'd be waiting two more weeks to start. So today literally is the date that we agreed on.
Do you have a sense of when that project will be completed?
The entire project? It would be at least the end of 2017, and whether it'll carry into 2018 will depend, I guess, a bit on their contractor. We've offered SCDOT to coordinate our work. We're probably the last utility to relocate, and if they wanted to work with our contractor, because we have different locations that we're working in, they've told us the first area that they want to get into, so we'll emphasize that first, and then we'll just coordinate with them however they see that they can do it, and that'll be up to them to decide if they can.
Okay, thank you very much.
Any other questions? All those in favor on second reading? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to number 5 under old business. This is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance of intent to comply with DHEC regulations regarding any decommissioning of the filtering system at Shiloh Spring Water Treatment Plant. By title, an ordinance providing a statement of intent pursuant to DHEC Reg 61-63, RHA 1.15 and RHA 1.15.12.4. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Motion, is there a second?
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Second, thank you. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, on September 23rd, 2013, under our consent order with South Carolina DHEC, Council approved budget funds to install a filtration system to remove any radium present in the water we process from Shiloh Springs. As part of this work, we also needed approval from Council regarding a path forward to decommission this filtration system at any future date when it may no longer be needed. George Gritton, Engineering and Utilities Director, has been working with DHEC to complete a 3-year review of the decommissioning fund plan that is required by DHEC radioactive materials license for the Shiloh Springs Water Treatment Plant. The City Council approved this ordinance on first reading at the September 12th meeting. For City Council consideration on second reading and public hearing is an ordinance to update the city's decommissioning plan by adding a 25% contingency factor to increase the financial credit for decommissioning the Shiloh Springs Water Treatment Plant from $62,500 to $73,000. The decommissioning fund plan is to be evaluated every 3 years and revised as needed in accordance with state regulations.
Thank you, Mr. Clem. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council?
I'm not clear
at what point do we determine that the fund plan should be eliminated. Is that a DHEC call? I know it's 3 years, but whose call is it?
Mr. Gritton, would you mind coming to help address that?
Could you repeat your question, please?
This is 3 years.
Yes.
Of a fund plan. Whose call is it to say that we need to decommission this? We no longer need the fund plan.
We would be deciding to shut down Shiloh Water Treatment Plant and no longer supply water from it. That would be the situation. That would be the only time that this would come into effect. So it would be our call. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Any other questions from Mr. Gritton? Mr. Mayor, did you want to make a comment?
No, I think I'm satisfied.
Okay. Thank you, George. All right, all those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to number 6 under old business. This is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend the ordinance for lease and space on the York Street Water Tower with T-Mobile Suncom. By title, an ordinance approving the amendment of a lease of space on the York Street Water Tower to Suncom Wireless Property Company, LLC. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, we have been contacted by representatives of T-Mobile requesting that they be allowed to make modifications to their equipment on the water tower at York Street and South Boundary. Mr. George Gritton, Engineering and Utilities Director, now to be called Engineering and Utilities Manager, has reviewed their proposed modifications in our current lease contract. He is recommending that the lease agreement amendment be approved. The proposed amendment is the fourth amendment to the 1998 lease agreement. Mr. Gritton was able to negotiate a $3,417 increase in the annual payment from $14,901.47 to $18,318.47. If we allow them to make the changes to their equipment. City Council approved this ordinance on first reading at the September 12, 2016 meeting. For City Council consideration, a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance approving a fourth amendment to the 1998 lease agreement with T-Mobile for allowing their equipment on the water tower at York Street in South Boundary to be modified.
Thank you, Mr. Klim. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council?
Yes, I think this is the same question I asked when we were talking about another vendor. Is the city liable for any mishaps while these individuals are working on the modification on a water tank?
Gary?
Whatever contractors are doing the work are personally responsible for their own work.
Okay.
You could foresee some kind of a defect in the water tower that nobody knew about, but I mean, there's always certainly that possibility. But lots of companies have been up there putting equipment on, so I would have thought we would have seen that if that had been the case.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All those in favor on second reading? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to old business number 7. This is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to approve the sale of 1243 George Street Northeast. By title, an ordinance approving the sale of 1243 George Street Northeast in Carlson Park subdivision. Is there a motion?
I so move.
We have a motion and a second.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
And a second. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, we have received an offer to purchase 1243 George Street Northeast in Crosland Park for $62,500. Staff has reviewed the purchase and recommends council approval for the purchase of $62,500 or appraised value. This offer is for primary home ownership. The buyer has submitted a pre-approval letter for a FHA loan through Bank of America. The buyer is asking for 3% in closing costs as well as $460 towards a one-year home warranty. City Council approved this ordinance on first reading at the September 12, 2016 meeting. For City Council consideration, a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to approve the sale of 1243 George Street Northeast for $62,500 or appraised value with the terms and conditions set forth in the purchase and sales agreement. And our staff is here to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, sir. Any comments from the audience? Comments or questions from council? All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Moving down to old business number 8, this is discussion of written minutes, meeting minutes. And I'll recognize staff.
Mr. Mayor, as you know, we have had numerous conversations about this issue. And at the last meeting, you asked for a staff recommendation, and that is what is contained in this meeting's agenda. We reviewed examples of our city council minutes over several years and also looked at minutes from other cities such as North Augusta, Greenville, Lexington, Spartanburg, Rock Hill, and Aiken County. After review, it is the recommendation of staff that the council minutes not be verbatim minutes, but also not be only the legally required minimum. As Councilman Merry stated at the last council meeting, staff as well as citizens frequently use and search the minutes for various items that have come before council. Staff proposes the minutes contain the items being discussed, the title of any ordinances being considered, the memo from the city manager explaining the item, a summary of persons' comments at a public hearing, a summary of comments made by council members, the motion and actual action taken by the council and the vote of the council. When the minutes were verbatim, many times the minutes would be 50 pages or more for a meeting. Since the minutes have not been verbatim, the number of pages is now about 20 to 30 pages, depending on the number of items on the agenda and the length of the meeting.
if we at least have some summary of the discussion of an item in the written minutes, we can use our LaserFiche program to search and find an item in the written minutes. And if further information is needed, we know the date of the recording or video to go for further information. We've attached a copy of an email that Angela Hales, our IT manager, sent to Carolyn Smith of the State Archives in her answer regarding minutes. Also attached is a copy of the South Carolina law regarding public records, copies of other jurisdictions' minutes, and attached for your information as well is a copy of the City of Aiken minutes from 2004 and 1995 for your consideration.
All right, this does not need a motion or a vote, I think just a direction.
I have a comment. Most of us use glasses to read anyway. Is there a chance to reduce the number of pages by reducing the font somewhat? We can keep the font standard for our agenda, but if we're worried about too many pages, we might be able to reduce the number of trees we have to chop down.
Yeah, I don't think it's just a question of the amount of
paper. I know, this is just...
It's how much time that it takes, isn't it? Haven't we concerned about how much time, Sarah's time it takes to prepare the verbatim minutes all along?
Well, I don't think we need verbatim minutes.
Right.
But I think if, even if we had the modified, I don't know, what do we call it, the second version, I still think we could save some room by reducing the font on the minutes portion.
When I first introduced the subject, it was the intent of lightening the load for the city manager because we were, in fact, generating 50 pages of minutes and so forth. I was quite taken aback, frankly, with complaints on the part of some folks in the community who felt that we were doing something deceptive and trying to hide something. And it's interesting to note that for our minutes of 50 pages, Lexington was 6, Aiken County 7, Greenville 7, North Augusta 4, Spartanburg 7. In 2004, our minutes were 11 pages. In 1998, they were 9. And the minutes we approved tonight were 28. We're not hiding anything. I mean, we have an audible recording of the minutes. You can go to a certain subject directly if you want. So I was taken back by that, but I certainly would recommend that we approve what's in our memo. It will tell the community exactly what we did, and it'll add even more than the rest of the communities are adding. So it'll still be transparent. If the public has any reason to be concerned, they certainly ought to bring it to one of our attention.
All right. Mr. Klum, I think you can take that as a consensus to move forward with the certainly more than minimally legally required, but not necessarily verbatim.
And I just offer a note of appreciation to Angela and Stuart and all the members of staff that compiled. That's thorough and a great information package for us, and I appreciate the trouble y'all went to do that.
I agree, Councilman Mayor.
I think it's an important step forward, and I expressed this concern before to the city attorney. Do we need to formalize this any more than it's a discussion item and we've had that, or do we need to make this a resolution?
The code section of the city code that talks about the minutes it doesn't go into any specific detail as what the minutes should look like. Okay, in my experience, the minutes of city council have evolved over the years. There have been times when Sarah has been asked to include more information in the minutes than she had been including in the past. There's been times when she's been asked to include less information in there. her goal really is to make all of city council happy. And I think you're getting a consensus of the city council now. It is our job. But I think she's getting that consensus now. The council has been satisfied with the work, but they do want to see a reduction in the minutes, understanding that if you really want to hear everything, it's on the tape. All you got to do is click online, and you'll find it. But you don't have to amend the city code to give her that direction. And if council, you know, 6 months down the road decides you're not getting enough information in the minutes, council can bring that to her attention and she can make that amendment.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Moving down to new business. Number one, this is first reading of an ordinance to amend the lease agreement for lease a space on the York Street Water Tower with New Singular Wireless, AT&T. By title, an ordinance approving the amendment of a lease of space on the York Street Water Tower to a New Singular Wireless, PCS, LLC. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Motion, is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, we have been contacted by representatives of New Singular Wireless, PCS, requesting that they be allowed to add equipment on the water tower at York Street and South Boundary. Mr. George Gritton, our engineering and utilities manager, has reviewed their proposed modifications in our current lease contract. He is recommending that the proposed lease agreement be approved. The proposed amendment is the third amendment to the 2000 lease agreement. Mr. Gritton was able to negotiate an increase in the annual payment from $17,854 to $25,000 if we allow them to make the changes to their equipment. The payment terms also include a 15% increase with each five-year renewal. For City Council consideration is first reading of an ordinance approving a third amendment to the 2000 lease agreement with New Singular Wireless, allowing them to modify their equipment on the water tower at York Street and South Boundary. Now, the representatives of New Singular Wireless have been very cooperative and working very closely with Mr. Gritton. The representative had every intention of being here tonight, but he is in coastal Georgia, and he is being stopped by the National Guard from coming here, and he asked us through George that we consider passing it in first reading with an understanding that he would be here to answer any questions from the council on second reading. But he had every intention of being here tonight.
I'm going to try to remember that excuse. I want to
thank you, Mr. Clem. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council?
Just thank you, George, for his great negotiation skills.
I don't understand New Singular, Bellside, AT&T, all that.
There's all different companies and they each have their
own. All right. All those in favor on first reading?
Did you have a question?
I'm sorry, did you?
I have a question before we vote. And George, perhaps you can answer this for me. It doesn't hold up anything, but I'm not quite understanding Bell South's relationship with New Singular, AT&T, and the whole connection here. They're all using the same equipment. They're all getting the same benefits from the equipment.
Well, in the case of AT&T, I think they overcame. They're now Singular. They've taken over Bell South. It's kind of a hierarchy. Mm-hmm. So it's not additional equipment. It's just different names for the different companies. So we have T-Mobile. Singular and Verizon on the York Street Tower. We have three companies.
Okay.
And AT&T and Bell South are using the same equipment jointly with Singular.
Yes. Well, they're the same company now.
All right. Okay.
So what they've done is there's been a hierarchy of mergers, and so they continue to I guess own the original contract, and they, you know, merge or buy out, and we've kept the same continuity as, you know, time has progressed. So we call them AT&T, but Singular, I think, is what's actually in the documents.
Okay.
Because they own that, right?
You're essentially dealing with the same company you've been dealing with since 2000. They managed to change their names, kind of like the building next to the Playhouse, where they've changed their names a couple of times over the years. Mm-hmm. The ownership is essentially the same.
Okay.
Thank you, George. Any other comments? All those in favor on first reading? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Number two under new business. This is first reading of an ordinance to amend the procurement code of the Aiken City Code by title an ordinance amending the procurement code of the Aiken City Code. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, this is a first reading of a request to change our ordinance regarding the procurement code of the City of Aiken. Our current procurement code is based on a municipal association model ordinance dating back to 1983. There have been minor modifications since then, but as methods of procurement evolve, additional review is necessary. Our code has always specifically addressed so-called, quote, hard bid projects, which typically involves the selection of a professional service, such as an engineer or architect, who designs plans that we then bid out to contractors through a sealed bid process. These projects are awarded to the lowest responsible bidder after careful evaluation of submitted bids. After consultation with local and national procurement experts, we reviewed the American Bar Association's model procurement code for state and local governments, and also turned to the Government Finance Office Association Elected Officials Guide to Procurement. We recommend an amendment to our procurement code that would add a section which would allow a number of other options that could be utilized on a case-by-case basis, such as design, bid, and build, construction management at risk, operations and maintenance, design, build, operate, and maintain. In addition to those methods identified, the Council may approve as an alternate project delivery method any combination of design, construction, finance, and services for operations and maintenance of an infrastructure facility. This process would utilize a request for qualifications or request for proposals process as applicable to an individual project. This proposed change would not eliminate the chance to use the sealed bid process on projects, but it is a necessary addition to the procurement code. For Council approval is first reading and public hearing of an ordinance amending the procurement code of the Aiken City Code. And we have one of the most foremost experts in the state of South Carolina in this issue, a gentleman that you met recently, Attorney Keith Powell, who's available to answer any questions that you may have. But the long and the short of this is that this gives the city and the city council additional options that weren't in place in the 80s and the 90s. Things like public-private partnerships. Back in the 70s and 80s, the city did every aspect of a job. These days, there are a wide variety of public-private partnerships that just are not possible because of our outdated procurement ordinance. Attorney Powell is here, as I said, to answer any questions that you may have, and we can have him here in second reading as well. But this allows for the type of creative and innovative public-private partnerships that we've discussed over the past year that would not be allowed under the existing outdated procurement code.
Thank you, Mr. Klim. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council?
Just a quick question. Would this change put us in complete compliance with the ABA model procurement code? Is there anything that we should add to be in complete compliance with that code?
I'm going to ask Attorney Powell to come up.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Dewar,
the ABA model is what it says in the title. It's a model and gives you suggestions for things to do. The ordinance amendment that you have is taken on mainly for the way the state of South Carolina has implemented that model. So it would put you, it is consistent with both, really. I mean, the state of South Carolina decided to follow the ABA model, and the ordinance draft in front of you follows both of them. So I just like to think of it as, you know, a hammer is a very useful tool, but sometimes you'd rather have duct tape or WD-40 or a screwdriver, and this gives you a bigger toolkit.
Thank you.
And I want to
thank Mr. Powell and staff. This is something that I never knew that this was there was an ABA model and the Government Finance Officers Association elected officials got a procurement, but I knew that other municipalities were doing it differently, and I knew in each case that it was different than what we could do. And so I just want to thank those folks that brought this all together for doing that, because this is really bringing us, I'd say, into the 21st century along with where everybody else has been. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Powell. All right, on first reading, all those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. So number three, they've actually asked that we continue this, so I'll entertain a motion to continue item number three at this time.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
I second.
We have a motion and a second. No discussion necessary. No discussion. All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to petitions and requests. Number one, this is an approval of a mutual aid agreement for the Lexington Police Department. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second. Comment from staff?
And Mr. Mayor, South Carolina state law allows local law enforcement agencies to enter into mutual aid agreements to provide necessary support for public safety functions. Currently, we have agreements with surrounding local law enforcement agencies because we recognize the importance of mutual aid in times of crisis or need. The Aiken Department of Public Safety has been approached by the Lexington Police Department to renew our mutual aid agreement with them. The Lexington Town Council has already approved the mutual aid agreement and has provided a signed agreement for Council's consideration and approval. The Council approval is renewal of a mutual aid agreement with the Lexington Police Department. We have, as you know, also a request for a renewal of a mutual aid agreement with Aiken County, and we are presently compiling some statistics and information that that individuals have asked for, and we want to have all of that information before that comes before you as well. But this is with Lexington, and the chief is here with his staff if you have any questions about this agreement.
Comments from the audience? Comments or questions from council?
Yes, yeah, chief, if you could come up. There are three places in this agreement where it's quite open-ended. And it talks about benefits of mutual aid in the event of natural disaster, disorder, special events, emergency situations, and any other law enforcement activities. I'm used to mutual aid for kind of emergency support. And then in paragraph 2 on page 225, it says it applies for any other matter handled by law enforcement for that particular jurisdiction. Is it typical that they have these really open-ended provisions in it?
Or as you know, you can't expect everything. So there is some open-endedness to this. We would not go without, of course, advising the city manager. It has been several years since we've been to Lexington. It was for a large event that they were, it was a bike event actually that they had, but it's been several years since we've been to
Lexington. The process would be started by their police chief going to you?
Yes, or a supervisor to a supervisor, then it would have to go up the chain of command, then to the city manager, and then we would move forward.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, chief. Any other questions, please? All right. All those in favor? Close your hand. And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down under information, Mr. Clem, I think you have one announcement for issues and updates.
I do. We just found out some good news this afternoon. As all of you know, we are moving ahead with great enthusiasm and excitement about building our new community and senior center at Eustace Park. But we were very mindful that the park itself is tired and in need of repair. And so Joy Gillespie got together with Jessica Campbell and her PRT staff and found out about a grant through the National Park Service for over $200,000. And we were notified today that we had a recipient of that grant. That will be coming before you, but that's really good news for us.
I'm loose on some other grants.
Betty Myers out in the audience from Houston's Park Neighborhood Association. I see her smiling from ear to ear.
What would that grant be for?
Updating equipment, the playground and the equipment or whatever, as well as cleaning up the landscaping and the like.
Okay, could it be used to get the access into it, or is that strictly a state issue?
That's a story.
Walking trail repairs, tennis court reconstruction, and also some, it could also help with some of the parking. And as part of our work session for the Eustis Park Senior Center project, we mentioned some of those items, playground, tennis court reconstruction, some walking trail repair, and parking, additional parking, both for the park and the center.
Okay.
There's only a limited amount of parking in front of that playground area, so this will help to increase.
Good work.
Thank you, Mr. Beaton. I appreciate that. All right. I have nothing else. Is there?
I have one item on the issues and updates. The one about the ADPS SunGuard One Solution System. And this is my concern in dealing with these programs on the industrial side. Sometimes these things take on a life of their own, and there's odds and ends that need to be cleaned up. What I want to be sure that happens, there's not a little piece of this thing that's not finished because we run out of funds and we need a few $10,000 or something. Completing this thing, getting it 100% working is very important, and that's where we started from. That's what our original RFQ said. So we want to be sure that between IT as well as the city, because it affects everybody in the city, that we take these to fruition, be sure everything is working properly, and be sure we get our warranty covered on it. If you leave a piece undone 5 years from now, say, well, the warranty's no good, you didn't finish. So it's a comment that I want to be sure that we follow up on.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Duly noted. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I still move.
A second? All those in favor, please stand up.
You're going to kill me because I forgot to call you. You're going to kill me because I forgot to call you.